question. So get yourselves comfortable. Take your time. Let's maybe take a couple of deeper breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. That's a nice couple of nice full breaths. So you can tune into your belly, your diaphragm, and light in the air and low down into the lungs, and sensation down into the belly and below. And just let your breath settle. Putting a little bit of attention into the leg, you know, contact with the floor. Just being aware of your legs as you breathe in and breathe out. Maybe you can kind of notice any energetic flow in your legs as you breathe. Then if you can just open up the groin and the hips and the pelvis a little bit, just imagine breathing in a little bit of spaciousness down there, a little bit more room. The image of the earth supporting you from below. And without losing contact with the ground, just have a sense of the space above your head. Initially from the crown of your head to the ceiling of the room. And then imaginatively up towards the sky above you. So we have the image of making the posture in relationship to the earth and the sky, face relax, and relax. Here's Denise Levertov, overland to the island. Let's go, somewhat like that dog goes, intently haphazard. The Mexican light on a day that smells like autumn in Connecticut makes iris ripples on its black gleaming fur. That too is what one might desire. Radiance consorting with the dance. Under its feet, mud rocks, sniffing, engaged in its perceptions, dancing sideways. There's nothing that the dog disdains on its way. Nevertheless, it keeps moving, change in pace and approach, but not direction. Every step, an arrival. Relevant lines in that poem, or phrases, I think, in that poem for us as meditators. There's nothing that the dog disdains on its way. Every step, an arrival. Like the dog, be engaged in your perceptions, you know, be engaged in your experience. Just be interested in whatever arises. And fully present for each moment. We're just noticing what is happening. If you're caught up in your thoughts, just notice that there's also a breathing body. And allow the breath to encourage the awareness. Down towards the heart center, the belly, the ground. Rather than privileging your thoughts, notice that these always happen in a much fuller context. The breathing body. In the world. Actually, they have their basis, their arising in sensation, feeling. In an embodied psyche. Okay, so I'm just going to hand you over to Bodha Leela, if you'd like to conduct, orchestrate the next bit. Okay, Bodha Leela?
Okay, well, we're just going to be doing open space to explore meditation. So if you want to share something you've experienced or not experienced, any questions, anything arising on the retreat, go for it. So if you're feeling shy, you can always sort of private message I'm just playing about with settings. Raise your hand virtually or physically. And if you want to be more anonymous, then you can post a private message. So I can see that Ursula has her hand up. So Ursula, do you want to unmute and ask your question or share whatever it is you want to share?
Yeah, it's not so much a question as just a continuation of the small group and an image which came up today and yesterday. So thank you for the poem, Paramandana. Every step is an arrival, because that answered some of my querying. So I keep getting images of gates. Yesterday it was the Torii gate, the red Torii, Japanese Torii gate, the entrance to shrines. I make pictures with doors or gateways. I keep stepping through gates and gates and doors and doors, and there's always another one to go through, and I'm getting a bit fed up. So I asked, and the other thing is I saw this image of, which came yesterday with the Torii, which was an aquamarine stream or path. And so I asked, what does it mean, or what is my next step? And it said, it's not a path, it's a stream. It just symbolizes the process. You will never arrive, basically. You will never really fully arrive. You're always walking. You're always doing things. And I find that at times so frustrating, because, you know, my Germanness comes in, I want results. And then I just listened to a talk, and she talked about the desire snake, that when you desire something, you basically affirm and that you're lacking something. And so it hit me again, because I'm just starting, I'm in transition time and I'm starting a new relationship, and gosh, it's difficult to know. To sort of let things go and just trust. I mean, the answer is trust and opening and allowing and flowing, but physically and humanly, it's not easy, is it? So any advice or guidance would be appreciated. How I can calm, besides doing meditations, calm my restless heart and mind.
Been
for Leela,
huh?
I was thinking it's down to you, Paramana. I was in a group with Ursula, so she's had a bit.
All right. These images of the gate, they're coming up in meditation.
Yeah, yesterday. It just flashed up. Suddenly, this Torii jade with the light blue. I often get images or colors, you know, but it's just a flash. It's not imagination. It's just, it's a message which continues from the frustration practice when I had all these texts sort of ending at my feet and, you know, and a message basically that I should make next step in my training for ordination process. So it's to do with that as well, I think.
Well, I don't know what to say really, because, you know, you seemed to answer your own question, didn't you, really, while you were speaking, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy, but, I mean, referring back, I think from a meditation point of view, I mean, as Bodhi Leela was saying this morning, really, obviously in our lives we have overall kind of aims or goals or whatever you want to call them, but I think from a meditation point of view, we are trying to just be present moment to moment, aren't we? We're not, you know, what we're trying to do in meditation is just to be fully present to what's going on. Yeah. So, you know, so in a way, every moment is that arrival, though, isn't it? I mean, I think it's a bit of it's a sort of fantasy, isn't there, that there's a kind of end to this. Life just goes on, doesn't it, until it stops, you know. you know, just one thing after another, isn't it?
Yeah.
And suddenly it's all over, all too soon, probably. But, I think we have this fantasy, don't we, that there's some end to something, or, you know. Well, there is an end, but, you know, we have a fantasy that there's some other kind of end, you know, like whether it's romantically or spiritually or whatever it might be, you know, there's going to be this point where we're sort of all sorted out and everything. Oh, that's it. What are you going to do then, you know? What happens when you get to it? I don't know. I think well, my own experience, I mean, I don't know whether there's other people's experience, but the longer I've been meditating, the less I feel I'm concerned with kind of the future in a way, you know. I'm not really looking for some resolution or something, you know. If I'm looking for anything, I'm looking for a kind of experience. And I mean, I would be quite pleased if I was getting images of gates. I think, oh, kind of an interesting image, isn't it? It's a very strong image, isn't it?
I
think I'd just think, oh, that's rather nice, you know. But you're finding them rather annoying, too many gates there. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, thank you.
Just stay with it, really. I mean, you know, you might want to play around with the image a bit. You know, what happens if you go through that gate? You know? I don't know. But a gate and a stream, you know, they all sound very positive images to me. Really.
Yeah.
Maybe you are on a sort of boundary point in your life. You know, maybe there's a sort of change coming, as it were. You know?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's as well, you know, I've watched I basically went on the internet and looked at these Torii gates and opened up on it, and it's sort of basically transitioning from the world into the sacredness, and it talks about animism as well, you know, that it's a symbolism of animism, and I'm working on that level as well. So, and with vitality, vitality, you know, with the red. So, I'm trying as well to sort of not separate the sacred and the worldly, you know, that's my approach. But I'm getting a bit lazy sometimes, and, you know, I'm not very good with doing things regularly. You know what I mean? I have a spiritual practice, but not always at the same time or so, you know, and I think it's telling me as well to get a bit smarter on that.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think I will try that.
That's what it kind of provokes in you, that you think you should be a bit more, you feel you should be a bit more disciplined.
Oh yeah, that's the word I was looking for, yeah. Not easy for me.
No. Well, don't get too disciplined, though. But yeah.
No, I never will be.
You know what?
I left Germany behind. Thank you very much. Okay, lovely. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Kamala Badgery.
Yeah, I was sharing this with my group. I was very intrigued and helped by what you said yesterday, Paramananda, about bringing awareness to the legs and letting go in the legs, and that can be scary. And so a lot of my tension I hold in the shoulders and throat, and I brought attention quite a bit to that, and, you know, softening, letting go. But what I found this morning when I was spending quite a lot of time on the legs was that did it for me, you know, in a way, letting go in the legs softened the upper tension. And I was thinking sometimes, you know, by bringing attention to the tense area, maybe that's not helping, you know, it's kind of adding a bit of strain or something. Anyway, I found it really helpful, dropping right down.
Yeah.
I just wondered if you had any more to say about this letting go in the legs that you said yesterday.
Well, I mean,
it's definitely one for you, Paramananda.
I mean, there's a couple of strands to why I got. I partly got intrigued by the legs years ago because of Hackwin, in the Hackwin's biography, autobiography, Wild Ivy, I think it's called. He has this insight experience, and then he becomes very kind of alienated from the world, you know, has a very strong experience, but the result of it is that he sort of feels alienated from the world. And in his account, anyway, he goes to his Buddhist teachers and they don't know what to do about it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, in the end, he finds some old guy up a mountain, some kind of Taoist teacher up a mountain. You know, it's quite a sort of an elaborate story, but this guy gives him exercises to do with his leg, you know. That was one strand, but also just this modern idea, this more, you know, more recent idea that a lot of basic traumas kind of triggered in the psoas muscles, and therefore a lot of the sort of holding is actually in the leg, you know. A sort of fight flight mechanism is sort of located down there. So then a couple of, and just in my own experience, it sort of makes sense to me that in the tension in the body, I mean, this is just a way of talking, isn't it? But I think if you're not relaxed in the leg, that's going to probably have reflective tension more or less anywhere in the body, actually, you know? So I think it's like relaxing the bottom half of us allows the it sort of allows the top part, the torso, also to relax, you know. I mean, I think your observation that actually sometimes bringing attention to holding and might not work, you know, like holding in the shoulder. I mean, it's always worth trying, but it doesn't necessarily work. And sometimes, I think I mentioned, you know, that just the last couple of retreats ago, I was on with this guy that had a lot of tension in his face, and he eventually worked out, he softened his hand, it let go of the tension in his face. So I think there's all these very sort of odd energetic correlations in the body that we don't need, you know. So I think you soften what you can soften, really. In my interest in the legs is really concerned with stability and the fact that the place where I think nearly everybody holds. Actually. You know, it's a very, you can sort of feel it, can't you? That you know, it's quite easy to sort of feel into why that kind of fight flight thing is in those. Down there in that part of the body, you know. So I think, I would recommend. I've been recommending people try and release the legs fully for a long time now. Yeah. Don't know what else to say at the moment.
Thank you. I've always sort of thought I was fairly relaxed and comfortable in my lower body, but it seems there's more to explore there.
I think there's, I mean, you know, in this, when we're kind of trying to meditate in this kind of embodied way, well, this is, I don't think it's too fanciful to, if we're using the body as a kind of metaphor for the psyche, I don't think it's too fanciful to associate the sort of pelvic bowl and the legs with the unconscious. Actually, that's the way I imagine it. I mean, I'd be reluctant. I don't want people to take that too literally, but I think there's something in that those deeper energies, those deeper sort of psychic energies, these unconscious forces, you know, are held insofar as we can talk about them having a physical location and sort of down that way, as it were. So in that sense, it might well be that you're quite comfortable, but I wouldn't necessarily assume that there's no holding there, you know. What I find myself, whenever I'm distracted, you know, I can come to my legs and I can usually find some kind of holding in the legs, you know. Because when you're distracted because you want to move away from something, yeah? There's something uncomfortable about your experience, so your sort of cognitive mind, your kind of ego mind, if you want to call it that, kind of kicks in and tries to come to the rescue, you know? Oh, I'm going to take this up to the conscious, rational part of me, and there I can sort it out. But that's the kind of turning away, you know, and that's gonna, I think, a lot of the time at least, result in some holding somewhere in the body, probably some holding in the legs. Now, it's more of like a physical thing, isn't it? If you want to, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been so angry or whatever that you just, or you know. Or even in, I remember badly crushing my big toe once, you know, when I was working. And the only thing I could do was run up and down the road, you know. There was like a physical, you know, I think when something's sort of unpleasant or difficult, we have this physical sort of, you know, movement, you know, we're kind of trying to get away from it, you know. Anyway, I'm blabbering, but I'm
blithering. Thank you.
Blithering on now, so I'll shut up.
Okay, Kalpna, you've had your hand up for a while.
Yeah. Hello, Parmananda.
Hello there.
Lovely poem as usual. Always a joy. You know, I have been practicing with you for such a long time. And I have learned so much from you. And we are talking about legs and body and this. But sometimes body changes. Which I am experiencing that I was sharing my thoughts with my groups also today that I'm having this problem with my spine, so lower spine, so my sitting bones, my legs, my feet, hurts. It's too much pain I experience. I can't sit now cross-legged on the ground. Even I'm sitting here and I'm full of pain.
Yeah.
And it, so that is a big change in my life, yeah. You know. And you have to, because first, when it started, it was the first thing I was said that, oh my God, I won't be able to sit on the ground now. Because through my life, I was sitting under that connection through ground, give me this alignments and everything. And you taught me so much about the body, you know. So that was, and then slowly I had needed to, my doctor said that it doesn't go away, that it, there is no treatment, you know, so you will have this problem, we can work it out. So it was very difficult for me, but I'm learning through my body, you know, sitting with the pain, you know, I'm sitting here talking to you and my everything lower body is hurting. But I'm trying to find that still sometime my body hurts, but my mind is clear because I know what is going on through my practice. And I still have that joyful moment.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So that is something very important in my life, in my practice, that yes, nothing is permanent. My body is not permanent. It is ill. It is going through a lot of problem. And I feel gratitude towards my body that it still is working. I can say, you know, whatever. But so this is the thing about that I'm learning, that you can find joy and peace still in the pain. It's, you know, it's not impossible to have happiness and joy and connection. And you always said, and I always feel that when you talk about the trees, I'm very close to the trees, that I always find myself and I feel that my body like a tree, that going all the roots in the ground, you know, and thinking out the goodness. And the healing properties and healing this body, mind and heart, you know, sit with that. And it makes such a difference. So this is the thing about, we talk about, you know, how we can like train our mind. We can time to time train our body, but sometimes we can't do anything with our body. It gets too tired and, you know, so we have to be very kindly with that and whatever brings. And practice is most important thing in my life at the moment that gives me, and sitting with you guys and my little Sangha, it's give me that strength to carry on, you know, to live my life. Yeah. Because I know that slowly my body is going. And with that body, your mind goes. But I need to keep my mind clear and joyful so I can, moment by moment, I can enjoy whatever life I left, you know. So yeah. It is such a beautiful thing to be here. And like always, folded hands. I'm very grateful to you and Bodhi Leela and all of us, my spiritual friends who help, you know, support. So just I wanted to share this, that sometime, yeah, when you have a healthy body, you can do so many things. It's still you have problem. But when your body doesn't work, still you need to work very hard, mentally, physically, everything you need, very hard work.
You learn the value of practice, don't you?
Exactly. And they are the most important thing, these values, you know, these practices.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay, well, we are getting quite close to the end, so if there's anyone who wants to say anything, now's your last chance. Christine.
It's just something really quickly. I have a strong meditation practice and I do see images, and doing your first meditation this morning, Bodhi Leela, I felt such spaciousness and open-hearted. And images were really strong for me. I found myself thinking of Paramandana talking about the tree. And I just thought, it's hard to articulate, tree just came into my mind. And I just felt my heart really open. And for about 5 seconds, I saw the face of a golden Buddha and it just went. So it was, just wanted to share that. It was beautiful. So thank you both for the inspiration.
Lovely.
Thank you for sharing that, yes.
Well, that sounds like a good place to leave it, eh? The golden face of the Buddha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yes, let's bring this session to an end and hope to see you at 7:30. A meditation and some devotional practice. It's quite likely we might do a green Tara puja, I think. So, anyway, do come, or I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. Take care. And if you want to post or say goodbye, unmute yourselves.
Thank you.